Let us turn our Bibles to Philippians once again. Philippians chapter 3. Let us begin reading here in verse 9. Paul writes these words, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." Let us go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Your precious word. Open the eyes of our understanding, please, Lord. Help us to see the precious truth that lays before us. Help us, Lord, to be changed as we hide your word in our heart. Help us to respond in obedience. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us here to have a humble, teachable spirit, ready to receive the good news that you have for us, the encouragement, the challenges that you are calling for change. Reveal to us, Lord, where we can change to be made more like your Son. Encourage us with the precious truth of your word. Please give us the grace we need, the divine enablement we need, the divine help we need to sit under the preaching of your word, to listen as an act of worship. Guide us, O God. Send forth your Holy Spirit that he would boldly proclaim your truth to our hearts. We will thank you for what you will do and what you will say. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was going through preparing for today, just really seemed to be a continuation of last Sunday's message. In verse 11, we looked at the fact that we focused on the phrase, "if by any means." We looked at it from a sacrificial standpoint, and to fit into the outline, changed it to our death in pursuing the prize. What we die to, we have to die to self in pursuing the prize. If by any means we're seeking to pursue the prize. We looked at our disposition in pursuing the prize, verses 12 through 14. Looked at this having a dissatisfaction. Being dissatisfied with where we are at, how well we know Jesus, how much like Christ we are. A soul devotion. We must be devoted to Christ. He must be why we do what we do. Single direction. We must be going forward. The only help that the past is to us is to encourage us as to what God has done. We can learn from the past, but not dwell on the past, that it would debilitate us, discourage us, defeat us, or that we would become overconfident and therefore complacent. And we looked at having a steadfast determination to pursue the prize. How steadfast are we? Do we have the zeal, the passion, the energy to continue on? We need to be steadfast in pursuing the prize. Today we continue on looking at our discipline in pursuing the prize. Our discipline. Verses 15 and 16 say these words: "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." So this morning, as we look at this discipline in pursuing the prize, our discipline, how disciplined are we? It overlaps with our steadfast determination. It overlaps with our soul devotion. It overlaps with the single direction. It overlaps with our sanctified dissatisfaction. Those who desire the prize need the right perspective. We need to have the right frame of mind. We need to be diligent with how we are minded. We need to be renewed daily in the Word of God. So first we see this encouragement about clarifying. Encouragement about clarifying. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Paul encourages us, but he wants to make something clear. As many as be perfect. Okay. Who's he talking about? Well, he's saying, let us therefore, us. Who's he talking to? The Philippian believers. And he's including himself in this process. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. As many of us are perfect. Is Paul honestly saying that he has reached the level of perfection, as we would consider perfection? Or obviously, as we've seen in the past, he says, "I have not already attained either or already perfect." He's already admitted his lack of perfection. But this word speaks of spiritual maturity. For those of us, he's not talking necessarily about those babes in Christ. He's talking about those who have gone on to reach a greater level of spiritual maturity. Not perfection, not a point at which no change is needed anymore, but this mindset in pursuing the prize in becoming Christ-like. There is maturity that, as we go through studying the Word of God, you have reached a level of spiritual maturity, not perfection. And Paul is not calling for spiritual perfection here. He's not talking about that yet. We'll see that at the end of the chapter in verses 20 through 22, where he does talk about spiritual perfection and glory, the future prize. He's speaking to those who are seeking spiritual perfection, those who are spiritually mature, those who are on their way to being spiritually mature. This is one who is no longer a babe in Christ. Clearly, Paul is not speaking of those who are perfect in the sense that they no longer need to grow spiritually, for he had already made it clear that he has not reached that level. And if anybody would have reached that level, you think Paul would have been right there with what he had gone through, how greatly God used him. The word perfect can also mean fully fit for running the race. We speak of someone who is mature as someone who is fully developed in mind and body. You think of a child, at times, immaturity is, they can be labeled immature. And we tend to label adults mature. Now, obviously, there are aspects of adults that there's immaturity still there, but overall, the sense is that there is maturity. in a great way as Christians. As we go through this life, we are there. We are, as an adult Christian, we are spiritually mature, but not complete, in that there's still areas of immaturity, but overall we tend to be categorized in the mature definition. Right? And so what happens is that's ultimately what Paul's talking about here. But we still have room to grow. One who has achieved a level of maturity, knowing that growth and change are still necessary. So he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Be thus minded. It's a command from Paul. He's saying, think this way. Let us keep on thinking this way. We need to have this attitude. Set your mind on this, he's saying. Be thus minded. What's he talking about? What mindset is he talking about? Well, if we go back to verses 11 through 14, we see the mindset that he's talking about. We need to have this mindset. In order for us to continue to pursue the prize of spiritual perfection, in order for us to continue to pursue the prize of Christ-likeness through knowing Christ, what do we need to do? We need to, as you see there, we need to have a sanctified dissatisfaction. Speaking of not having a mindset of arrival, I've made it. That breeds complacency. That breeds contentment in my spiritual life. God is telling us no. You never reach contentment. We should never reach contentment with where we are at spiritually. We need to reach contentment with where we are at physically, where God has us in this life. There is contentment that is needed. Paul says, whatsoever state I am in, therewith I've learned to be content. He's not talking about a spiritual satisfaction. He's discontent spiritually. He's content physically, earthly. We see the difference? So there must be this sanctified dissatisfaction, as we saw last week. There must be a soul devotion. Christ is a purpose and definition of our lives. As Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. That should be our mindset. Christ must be the defining purpose for which we do everything. I'm solely devoted to Christ. And how I devote myself to Christ is in doing this for Christ. And I do this for Christ. I love my husband for Christ. I love my wife for Christ. My children, I love them to honor and glorify Christ. Christ is the sole devotion, the object to which we do everything. He is the why behind it all. This, as opposed to Philippians 2:21, for all seek their own, not the things that are of Jesus Christ. The one who is not spiritually mature, the one who Paul is not talking to with regards to calling, say, us who are perfect, spiritually mature. The spiritual mature ones aren't the ones going through life with the mindset of seeking your own, the things which are not Jesus Christ. As a way of defining that person's life. We should be growing in our becoming like Christ, having that being solely devoted, for me to live as Christ. Then we see that thus minded that he's talking about is to have that single direction. Go forward. Go forward. Be reaching for what's forward. Reaching after. Be looking forward. Go forward. Look back to see the memorials of God. How He's worked in your life to encourage you to press on. But that's what we look back to. We don't dwell on the past. We are encouraged by God's working in our past, and therefore we're able to have that single direction of going forward, reaching forward, trying to get what's next. and getting next is growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. The steadfast determination is, as Paul was talking about there, running with passion, with energy, zeal. As he persecuted the church, now he changed that zeal. The zeal didn't change. His passion didn't change. His object changed. His understanding of who he was worshiping changed. And so as we worship God with this passion and zeal, we should be steadfast in our determination, seeking to always continue on. Because of all of this, if you will, for those who desire to be spiritually mature, to be Christ-like, you must think this way. We must think this way. But then Paul goes on to say, there's this desired mindset that we see there. But then in the second part of verse 15, there's a detrimental mindset. And that detrimental mindset is for those who have this different mindset. I trust the Lord will make it clear to you. He will clarify and persuade you of your need to pursue Christ-likeness. This detrimental mindset we see here, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, you think differently. Differently than this dissatisfaction, this devotion, this direction, this determination. We think differently. God shall reveal even this unto you. People not interested in pursuing the prize. As a child of God, if you're not interested in pursuing the prize, Paul is saying to you, to those of you who are not interested in pursuing the prize for whatever reason. This may be having that mindset of arrival. I'm a grace graduate. I no longer need it. Look at me, how great I am. I've attained perfection. The Judaizers thought of themselves as having attained perfection. You go back to Paul, and as he speaks with regards to his resume in verse 6, he says that he was a Pharisee. He was blameless. When you're blameless with regards to what they considered blameless, how they defined blamelessness was perfection. Look at me. Yeah. Paul's saying, no. That's not. That's the other mindset. That's the wrong mindset. That's a mindset that I don't need to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't need to rely upon the grace of God to work in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It can come from come in the form of Christians who think they can live a non-committed life the way they want to live. I can do whatever I want. Christian liberty. It's okay for me to do this. You may feel that it's not good for you, but God has given me license to do this. Liberty is not license to sin. You understand that. At times, each of us can have this other mindset. At times, we forget. At times, our memory gets softened. At times, we lose the drive, the determination that I must continue to pursue the prize. At times, we get so busy with life that we're getting out of the Word of God and our mind, where it has been renewed in the past, we know what we should do, but we need to be reminded that you need to continue to pursue. At times, in our Christian lives of spiritual maturity, at times we get complacent. And so what Paul is saying here, God shall reveal even this unto you. For those of you who seem to have this mindset of perfection, Paul is saying, I pray that the Lord will help you to see and clarify the reality that you have not attained. For those of you who are living this non-committed life for Christ, you claim to be a Christian, but you don't live for Him, may God reveal to you, to clarify to you that you aren't going the right way. You need to pursue the prize. To those of you who have been faithful in in pursuing the prize, yet have fallen off here recently. Paul's saying, I'm praying for you, that God would remind you, that He would clarify to you that you have come under this other mindset, this different mindset, this detrimental mindset, as you've become complacent. There's a plethora of reasons why. But it's detrimental to our pursuit of the prize. It's detrimental to our becoming like Christ Jesus. That's the challenge. So Paul, he is encouraging us about clarifying your pursuit of the prize, of how disciplined you are in pursuing the prize. You must have, there's this desired mindset that we must have. But there's a detrimental mindset that we need to be very aware of and to refrain from. Then he goes on into verse 16. There's this encouragement about continuing. Encouragement about continuing. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So Paul, he encourages us about continuing on. We need to be disciplined in our pursuit of the prize. Be disciplined about getting to know Jesus, that transforming knowledge that changes us, that transforms us into Christ-likeness so that we look more like Christ. Ultimately, the prize is to glorify God. And we glorify God by becoming like Jesus Christ. And we become like Jesus Christ by getting to know Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, that I may know Him. Transforming knowledge is where we begin to glorify God, where we are transformed by the knowledge of God into the image of Christ. And therefore, we bring God much honor and glory. That's the prize. That's what we need to do. Nevertheless, he says, whereto we have already attained. Besides all of this, he says, as Christ followers, to the degree that we have already attained a level of spiritual maturity, of Christ-likeness, let us continue to pursue this Christ-likeness with the same standard and mindset. You've gotten here. You've attained, you've reached this, to this degree that you have reached Christ-likeness. How did you get here? How did you get to this point of your Christian life? How did you get to this level of spiritual maturity? And I'm not calling for us to be out there saying, well, so-and-so is on this level and so-and-so is on this level. It's not about that. It's about, it's my comparison with God. Verse 9 tells us, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law. And then verse 10 speaks of not just, we go from being found in God, found in Christ, that Jesus is our Savior, justification. We go to verse 10 and we see that how Jesus is to be found in us. And so what Paul is talking about here is how much of Jesus is seen in your life. To the degree that which Jesus is seen in you. How Christ-like do you look? How Christ-like are you? That degree. So the degree to which you have come to this point of Christ-likeness, the degree to which you have, how you have go on the process of becoming like Jesus. Paul is saying, continue on. Continue on. Don't give up. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. Don't be satisfied with how much like Christ you look. Because as we've talked about, the Christian life is the rowboat as you're rowing upstream. And the current is coming at you at different times of life, faster and slower. And so, in order for you to continue to move upstream, you need to row more. You need to row to a greater speed than the current is coming against you. And Paul's saying, you've rowed this far to get to this point. Don't change and lessen the energy, the effort that you're putting in. Don't lose the mindset that I have to keep going. Continue on. Let us walk by the same rule, the same standard. The same standard by which we have attained is the standard of grace, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us these words. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There we see the divine enablement of God, the standard of grace, the standard of God helping us to achieve. God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, but we are still called upon to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. If you will, the illustration of you're sitting in the car and you have this engine going. The power of the car is the engine. But unless you take your foot and push the gas pedal, you aren't engaging the power. The engine, the power is Philippians 2:13, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's the power. But verse 12 is your foot on the gas pedal. You still got to do something, not to get saved, to continue on in your salvation, to be not found in Christ, but to have Christ found in you. See how this works together. And so Paul is saying, continue on. To the degree that you have already attained, live by the same standard. Continue on with that same drive, that same passion. And if you will, change the degree, the effort. Increase the effort. Increase the effort at which you're rowing. Seek to pursue the prize with greater zeal, greater passion. But don't let it go. Don't become complacent. The word walk is a military term which carries the idea of keeping in step, in formation. You know what you need to do to continue on. You know the dissatisfaction that you must have. You know the devotion that you need to have. You know the direction that you need to keep going. You know the determination that you must have. You know these things. This is the standard of living. As the army of Christ, as we are in formation walking, you know what you need to do to continue on. Don't veer off and go your own way. Don't try to do it a different way. You know the proven path. Walk in it. Do it. Don't make excuses as to why I don't need to get in the Word today. Don't make excuses as to why I don't need to go to church today. Don't make excuses as to why I don't need to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ today. Don't make excuses and justify why I don't need to pray today. Don't reinvent the wheel. Pursue Christ. Pursue your Christ-likeness with the same passion and zeal, but with the same recipe that got you here. Continue on. You see that? That's the challenge that Paul has for us here. As I understand it, the Swiss Alps, the Alps there on Italy and Switzerland, many people have gone to climb the mountain range. Well, there is a tombstone that's at the base of one of the highest peaks, I understand. And it gives the name of the man who fell to his death. But this is what's inscribed along with his name. He died climbing. Someone once has said, you're not ready to live until you know what you want written on your tombstone. to have on your tombstone, he died climbing, would be pretty precious, because what does that mean? You didn't give up in your Christian life. You continued to pursue the prize. You died with your boots on, continuing to become more like Jesus. There's no retirement in the Christian life. There's not a point at which we're allowed to give up, because we've never attained perfection. Once we die, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Ooh, what's that gain? Christ-likeness, perfection, the reality of perfection. But we're not there yet. Will it be said of you that he died climbing? She died climbing. She kept on going. He kept on going. He died rowing. Okay? He didn't fall asleep at the wheel and went backwards down over the waterfall. Don't want that written on our tombstone, do we? He kept going. He kept going. So we must have. Will this be said of us? Will this be the testimony said of your Christian life? He, she died climbing, always pursuing Christ Jesus. What will be said of you? Okay, so here we are. We see these two verses and we see the precious reality there. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, be otherwise minded. God shall reveal even this unto you. God will help you to see the truth. Nevertheless, besides whereto we have already attained, let us walk, let us live by and act by the same standard, the same rule which brought you here. Let us mind the same thing. Let us think the same way. Continue on with that mindset. So, with all that's being said, what are the ingredients necessary to be faithful in pursuing the prize? We know what mindset we need to have. We need to be dissatisfied with where we are at in our Christian life. We need to be always understanding that I need to pursue the prize. This I have a real need to continue pursuing. We need to be devoted to Christ. We need to continue on pursuing the prize in a forward direction. We need to be determined, steadfast in our determination to continue on. We know that's the mindset that we need to have. We need to be disciplined at continuing going forward. But what are the ingredients to help us do that? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, I see it's there written out for you. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The first ingredient is the Word of God. How important is the Word of God to you? How vital is it? Is it your necessary food for today? Is it your necessary food for today? Can you go a day without food? Physically, you come to the end of a day where you're not intaking any physical nourishment. You're dragging. Some may not even make it to the end of the day. It's a challenge. Why do we think we can be productive spiritually going through the day without the Word of God? Without the bread of God, the manna of God, our daily provision, what He has given us to help us today. Why do we think otherwise? Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. When you think of a newborn baby, they're ravenous as they know what they need. It's built into them. I need my mom's milk. Let me at it. It's comical to watch. They know what they need. Oftentimes we don't show that we know what we need. But why do they need that milk? So they can grow. Without the milk, without the nourishment of the milk, they're not going to grow. Without the Word of God, we're not going to grow spiritually. We're not going to have the spiritual sustenance to continue the vitality to continue rowing, we're going to give up. This scenery looks pretty good. And then you start going backwards. So the first ingredient is the Word. Being constant in the Word will keep you moving forward. Number two, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul is saying, we pray for you so that your lacking faith will be perfected. So what is lacking in your life, it will be perfected. Prayer helps to bring us to a greater state of perfection. Second ingredient is prayer. How diligent are we in prayer? There's times in my life I just can't pray enough, and it just seems so easy and natural. I just wake up and I'm praying, and I do this, and I just fall into, it's almost like I just fall right into praying, and an hour goes by and it's like I'm praying and it's just great. And then there's those other times and I feel like I'm in it right now, and it's just like, oh my, I know I need to pray, and I 5 minutes, it's almost like it's such a challenge to even pray for 5 minutes sometimes. And Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. Much power in prayer. And ultimately, you guys are shortchanged when I'm not praying like I should be. God, help me. Please pray for me that I would pray more, that I would be more steadfast in my prayer life, because your spiritual lives, to a degree, are dependent upon my prayer life. Oh, Lord, that's a big, tall task. That's a great responsibility that I too often don't take seriously enough. I forget about. Help me. Prayer is vital to our growth. Prayer is not conforming God's will to our will. Prayer isn't going to God saying, God, this is what I need. Give me, give me, give me. Prayer is conforming our will to God's will. Lord, what do you want? Paul, as he's praying, the thorn in the flesh that was given to him, as he said, it was from a messenger of Satan to buffet him, to beat him, to humble him. Paul prayed 3 seasons for the thorn in the flesh to be removed from him. 3 seasons. And God said no. So Paul diligently prayed for the removal of the thorn in the flesh until he found out that it wasn't according to God's will. Then he changed his prayer and prayed according to the will of God. Now it was no longer, get this out of me, it was, use it to perfect me. I will most gladly glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When God shows you what His will is, if you've been praying contrary to it, change your prayer with a good attitude and pray according to His will. And when you pray according to the will of God, can He say no? Can He say no? If this is the will of God, can He say no? No, absolutely not. He has to say yes. Now the timing of when He says yes is out of our... That's not something that He gives us. Sometimes He gives us a yes answer quickly. Other times it's a wait. But you're praying according to my will, and it will happen. But be patient, learn patience, learn to grow in your faith in me. So we see the ingredients that are necessary. The Word, prayer, Philippians 3:17, as we see there, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. The third ingredient that we see here is fellowship in discipling. Fellowship in discipling. Do you have someone in your life to hold you accountable? Yeah, God's in my life. He holds me accountable. No. Because too often times it's easy to turn the sound off the Word of God, the voice of God, and not listen. But do you have someone in your life who can hold you accountable? Do you have someone in your life who you are willing to come under them to be discipled by them? Spiritually. Do you have someone that you can go to and they will hold you accountable? Brother, sister, whatever it is, you come to a brother or sister in Christ and you say, you have the relationship with them that you can tell them, I'm struggling in this area. Can you pray with me to help me stay true? Do you have someone like that? Do you have someone that you can be a follower of as you look over their shoulder and see that they're following Christ? We need to have that. We need that. Because when two are together, they're less likely to fall. Because when someone does fall, they come alongside and pick them up. And that's why as we bring Irene up to the front here, as her church family, as her spiritual family, we're coming around her to say, yes, you are going to fall because you're going to be too weak in the near days. But guess what? We are here to help you. We know that God is going to sustain her and to pick her up. But as her brothers and sisters in Christ, we are going to come alongside of her to help her and lift her up, to give her the encouraging word to say, continue on. Don't give up. Continue rowing. And if you need to, get in her place and row for her. Get your rowboat behind her and you push. You go even harder to give her a bit of a break, to help her out, to encourage her in the Word of God, to strengthen her. That's our job. That's what God's designed fellowship for. Let's fellowship with one another. Let's encourage one another. That's a major ingredient of the Word of God. And finally, the last one is their trials. Trials are the fourth ingredient of the Word of God, as we see in 1 Peter 5:10. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The trying of our faith worketh patience. As we see in James chapter 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting, lacking nothing. Trials are designed not to destroy us, not to bring us to ruin, but to change us. Gold, when you put fire to it, you're not seeking to destroy the gold. You're seeking to bring the gold out. You're seeking to prove the reality of the existence of gold. When you're put through a trial in life, it's not to break you to the point where you are removed into nothing. It's not to destroy you. It's to break you in the regard of bringing you down from your own strength so that you rely upon God. The Word of God has a perfecting work. Prayer has a perfecting work. Fellowship and discipling has a perfective work. And trials are designed to be help us in becoming more like Jesus. Where do you go from here? Each of us have areas in our lives where we are lacking, where we are struggling, where we're not continuing on as we should. We each have areas in our lives where we may be doing better and other areas where we're not. So this message is for all of us. We all need to change in some area of our life or other. There's some bends we come around in the river of life where we say, I like this view. If only I could stay here forever. We miss what's upstream because we get complacent with what's here. And ultimately, when we get complacent with what's here, we start going backwards. Keep going forward. Be steadfast in moving forward. Be steadfast. And when God reveals to you, you have that other mindset where you are failing in your pursuit of the cross, pursuit of Christ, humble yourself under His mighty hand. Let Him exalt you. let Him give you His grace to help you in this time of need so that you can continue on in this path of pursuing the prize of perfection, of being like Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. You are such a great, loving, compassionate God. Thank You, Lord. Be high and lifted up. Be magnified as we submit. Show us, Lord, where we need to change. And change us, Lord, as we submit to You. Thank You for the fact that You are at work in our lives. You're seeking to conform us into the image of Your Son. Oh God, we thank You so much. We do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.